You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Thank you, gang. Well, look at how many people braved the blizzard of 2026. Woo! We didn't know. Usually around Virginia, I'm from the Midwest. When I moved here, I realized that they call off school for like 3 snowflakes. And so we never know when snow's in the offing. And we had a bigger crowd than normal, looks like. We had a bigger crowd last night because those folks were, I guess, worried about snow. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one somewhere around you that you can grab. That is our gift to you. That's page 187. In that Bible, we're going to be there in a little bit, but first, let me mention, some of you know that this is Sanctity of Life Sunday, the time of year where we celebrate life and the saving of babies, and so we support the CHIME Center, Crisis Pregnancy Center, over in Norfolk. And we gave them part of the Christmas offering that you folks gave so generously. We split it up between our churches, Jose just prayed for in Latin America, and then the CHIME Center. So we sent them a check, or are sending them a check for $1,000. So, because we believe in that cause and that biblical truth that life is sacred. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy 28, pick it up. Are you there? Say, I'm there. All right, and I'm gonna tell you what I underline. You can underline or not, but I like to do that in my Bible. It helps me focus. So the first word, underline, double underline, and if, the second word, sorry. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments. I underline, being careful to do all his commandments, so double underline, all, that I command you today, the Lord, so if you do this, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, now every time there's blessing or blessed in here, I circle it. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if, double underline if, you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall be you in the city. Blessed shall be you in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Over and over again, that word what? Blessed. So today's message is this, kingdom blessings in my here and now, getting blessed before I even get home. Because we've been talking about the series on heaven and how it's gonna be a blessing to, you know, not burn in hell forever and ever, but to have heaven, to have access to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit right there. But many of us were kind of like, you know, it's the best of two options, but it's going to kind of be boring. No, it's not. You've been taught wrong. It's going to be amazing, awesome. It's going to blow your mind. And we've been looking at that over the last few weeks. And so now more and more of you are kind of like, well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Because we live in these painful lives. Jose just prayed through a list of things and that some of you are facing, and we're thinking, oh, well, at least, you know, one day I'll be eternally blessed. And that's going to be awesome. But let's start out with a serious question that I want you to seriously answer, but don't raise your hands. Answer it in your heart between you and God. How many of you in here want to really be, again, don't raise your hands, want to really, really, really be blessed by God in this life right now, like this week? All right. Hopefully everybody would say, yeah, me. You know, if you got a working brain, the designer and the ruler of the universe, that he could come and invade my small life and give me the things I need or work things out or fix things, that's being blessed. Man, awesome. Because remember what being biblically blessed is. Like some of you, we've used the word blessed. We don't know what it means exactly. We got some vague idea. I love this definition. To be blessed by God is to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. To be blessed by God. If you're blessed by God, that means that you are on the receiving end of the tangible, that's the things you can see, taste, smell, touch, Okay, that's I need money. I need money for this bill. And it comes, boom, you're blessed. I need health. All right, boom, that's a blessing. That's the tangible blessings of God. But also the intangible, which are more important. Now, many times we don't think so, but people who commit suicide are people who've run out of hope. That's the intangible blessing of God. And so these things, hope, love, joy, peace, gentleness, those things, love. So we, to be blessed by God is to be on the receiving end to get these things of the tangible and intangible favor of God. Sad fact that many in this room are not blessed at the level that God wants to bless you. And this is not a name it or claim it message. You know me better than that. But you're not. God has a high bar that he wants to bless you with, and you are being satisfied, or maybe you're ignorant of how to be blessed, and you're kind of just taking the general blessings of God. You're like, what are the general blessings of God? Everybody gets in on them, whether you believe in God or not. The general blessings of God. Well, what is that exactly? In Matthew 5, Jesus is preaching what we called the Beatitudes, getting blessed attitudes, where he said, I'm going to bless you when you have this hard attitude. I'm going to bless you when that bad thing happens to you because you are following me. But then at the end of all of those Beatitudes, blessed are these people, blessed are those people, he throws this in. It says, he, the Father, makes his son rise on the who? Say it. Evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. I mean, God will, the evil farmer, he's going to get rain just like the godly farmer that's been praying for rain. And God says that's general blessings. Theologians call it common grace. Common grace. You get up in the morning, you breathe in air, your lungs, you know, contract and expand. You're blessed. Try it without air. No blessings, right? Or you live in a society that law and order, you know, of law and order where sin is usually restrained, you're blessed. That's one of the blessings of God. Or you get sick and there's a hospital there that, you know, and there are God-given discoveries and intelligent doctors who can aid in your healing. That's, you're blessed. That's a general blessing. But you don't have to just be a Christian walking with Jesus to get a healing from a doctor. You can be a pagan. You can be a Satanist and walk into the hospital and get the same care and have many times the same results. That's the general blessings of God, common grace. But I'm talking about those specific blessings, that special favor of God that my tangible needs met. The money I need. I got this huge bill. Lord, I need to be blessed by you. I need this amount, X amount. The transportation I need, the housing, the health that I need. That's the tangible blessings of God. I want my tangible needs met. Also, I want my intangible needs met. The love I crave. We all do. The joy that I need in this situation. The peace that passes understanding. Those intangibles that are even more important. So, how are you doing in the God blessing me in my life specifically, strategically, department right now? Some of you are there. Many of you in this room are there. I mean, you're slap in the middle of God's blessing territory. And there is such a place. We'll look at it. Others of you, you've never been there at all. You wouldn't recognize it to be blessed of God. You're in on the general blessings, the common grace of God, but you've never really been specifically blessed of God that you could point back and go, that was a God thing. Some of you've been there, but you moved out because you listened to the siren song of Satan. I mean, we all get in on the general blessings of God. Those are spillover blessings, really, many times, blessing scraps. And some of you here are like the Potiphar, that pagan Egyptian. You know, wasn't even a believer. He's a pagan Egyptian. And the Bible says in Genesis 39 that Potiphar's whole household was blessed. Why? Just because God wanted to bless him? No. There was a reason. Because of his servant Joseph. Joseph was there. And so because Joseph was greatly blessed of God, even though he was a slave at this time, those blessings spilled out to Potiphar's household, to the fact that Potiphar's like, man, what's up? What's up, man? This kid's golden. So some of you are there. You just have spillover blessings. Maybe you're okay with God, but you know, you never really have the blessings of God, but you have a spouse who knows how to walk with God and do these three things that we're going to talk about today. And so God is blessing her or him, and you're getting the spillover. Congratulations. But you can do better. You can do better. So God wants you to have specific, directed, from the hand of God, blessings. I want to show you where maybe many of you are screwing this up. You're screwing it up, blowing it in your lives. Because here in the blessing territory of God is where you want to live, whether you know it or not. It's where you need to live. And so here's the answer. And you're like, that's a Venn diagram. That's the whole answer? That's the answer. And this is the tool to the answer, okay? I was laying in bed, and when I'm studying, I haven't got the sermon finished, and I'm laying in bed, and it's just going, you know how it goes. Your mind won't shut off, and I'm trying to, these three things, but how do I show them? How do I show them that the people grasp them? And all of a sudden, I'm not saying this was God, but I think it was. It's Venn diagram. I'm like, a Venn diagram? So I had to grab my phone, Venn diagram. And then I was able to sleep. But it makes so much sense. And especially for you visual learners, you're like, there's Venn diagrams in the Bible. It's in the Bible everywhere, at least the truth that we can use using this Venn diagram. So track with me. There are 1,629 times in the Word of God that the word blessed, blessing, or blessed is used. 1,629 times. And this last week, I looked at every single one of them. You're like, you're not going to read them to us. No. But here are just a few. Genesis 1, don't go there. God blesses the first couple. What was their names? Adam and Eve. He says, be blessed and multiply. And then Genesis 9, Noah is blessed after the flood by God. He says basically the same thing. Hey, you and your family, I'm blessing you to go out, fill the earth, refill the earth. Genesis 24, God blesses his old dude, Abraham. He was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed, say blessed, Abraham in how many things? All things. Wouldn't you like to be blessed in all things? And by the way, Abraham went through hell in his life. Abraham made some stupid decisions. We preached through the book of Genesis, right? You know that Abraham is not this woo saint, but yet God blessed him in all things. Then God blesses Israel, the nation of Israel. For the Lord your God has what? Blessed you in how much of the work? All the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. He knows you're going through rough times, Israel. And yet still, God is blessing you in all things. These 40 years he's been with you, you have lacked nothing. You've lacked nothing. But, listen. Most of these blessings of God, some of the blessings of God in the Bible are God's going to do it no matter what. The general blessings, for instance, he's going to do it no matter what. But these blessings are specific. They are conditional. Say conditional. What do you mean conditional? It all hinges on one little two-letter word, if. If. If you do this, I'll do that. If. Say if. Some of you are messing up the if. That's the problem in your whole life, is you're messing up the if. God wants to bless you, but you're messing up the if. What do you mean messing up the if? Here's a scary passage, Deuteronomy. God's talking to Israel. See, I'm setting before you today, giving you some options, two options. Blessing, say blessing. A blessing or a curse, say curse. God says, pick one. You got two choices in your life. And this is where some of you are screwing up. The blessing, if, say if, you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you, I'll bless you if you just obey me. Simple. Choice number two, the curse, if, say if, you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Some of you, you're like, I'm not saying I don't want to be blessed by God. Yes, you are. Because you chose the wrong if. You might be ignorant of it. You might not have known it. You got three things. Say three things. Three things that you need to have those all three going. God doesn't pour his blessings automatically. Most of them he's made conditional. Just like you do with your kids or grandkids. My grandkids, they all love this place. I don't know if you ever heard of it, this store called Walmart. Yeah, what do they love in Walmart? Not the fishing section. What section? The toy section. It's not just an aisle, it's aisles. And so, you know, whenever they come over and see Papa and Gaga, They want to go to Walmart. But if they've been little stinkers while they've been there the 3 days, no Walmart for you. No Walmart for you. I'm serious. Now, but they'll come in innocently. I'm out there working on a message or something in my shop office, and I hear the door open. It's behind me, and I hear it, and I know. I can just tell it's one of these kids. And they'll come in. And they make small talk at first, you know. Hi, Papa, what you got? Oh, this is nice. What is that? Oh, that's nice. Hey, Papa. And here it comes. Do you need anything at Walmart? I'm like, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. And I'll usually reply, well, I don't know. Oh, don't you just need something? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. All right, I do need a few things at Walmart. Oh, goody. No. Can we go to the toilet? Wait a second. First, I saw what you did to your sister out there. You need to go apologize. And I need you all to help me paint the chicken coop. We did that like a month ago. They got paint all over themselves. And I need you to take care of the dog. You do those things. If. Then we're going to go to Walmart and you'll get you a blessing. God's the same way. Why do we think he's not? Why do we think God's a permissive parent? Well, here's, it just hit me. Because some of you are permissive parents, so you think that's, you project your permissive parentness on God. No. God's a disciplinarian. He's not harsh, but he is firm. Some of you have not realized it about God. God's the God of love. He just loves, he's like a big fuzzy bunny. No. He's high and holy. And he says, you know what? I'm going to discipline you for your benefit because, he says in Proverbs, if you don't spank your child when your child needs it, you hate your son. I'll never come to this church again. See ya. The word of God. All right. Now, so God says, hey, you want my tangible and intangible blessings? Just obey me in three simple areas. Oh, John, just three things. No. I said areas. Three simple areas. Say it to me. Areas. What are they? Take notes. You need this. Do this Venn diagram, all right? Do some squiggles. First one, walk right. Walk right. What do you mean walk right? You know what? Intuitively, most of us know what walking right is, but in case we don't, he says, all right, you walk right. Now, there are three, so you're not yet getting the blessings of God just by doing the one. You may get the trickle-down benefits or blessings because God says, okay, I see that you're making progress. Cool. I'm going to throw you a little bone there. I'm going to throw you some blessings, blessing bones or whatever. But you're not going to get down here into the blessing territory of God until you get all three of these. All right. But he can do what he wants. Whoa. Help me, Jesus. Whoa. All right. So anyway, note to self, don't touch the screen. All right, let's move on. There we go. Whew. Okay, all right. I'm 66, shut up. Blessed. Blessed is who? The man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scoffers. All right, walks wrong. Don't walk wrong. You're not going to be blessed, but here's where I bless you. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates when? Oh, help me, Jesus. It says he's like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he what? That's not just nice words that you learned in Sunday school. That's the truth of the word of God. It's the truth of the word of God. It's a if. Blessed. If you walk this way, no blessings for you. Cursings. If you walk this way, you're going to be like a tree next to a river that's just growing and being fruitful and multiplying. You're going to prosper in all that you do. That's huge. I didn't do this in high school. I didn't do this in the Navy, early on in the Navy, before I trusted Jesus. In high school, one night we were ramming around, you know, road drinking and all that stuff. And my buddy's driving his car and we drive by the bowling alley. By this time, it's like close to midnight. He goes, oh, hey, Houston, look over there. I'm like, what? And there was this car jacked up, you know, and sitting there with nice tires, nice rims and all. He goes, man, that's that car from that jerk that's trying to get my girl from me. I'm like, oh, man, what do you want to do? He goes, let's go slash his tires. So we did. Mm. Yeah. Do you think that God, seeing us do that, look down from heaven and go, oh, you little rascals, I love you so much. I think I'll bless you. Do you think that? No. 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 Popo was looking for us. So, well, I've never done anything that bad, John. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, cool. Don't do it out here, all right? I see. But back to that last part of this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Say day and night. Many of you have jumped on board and you're reading the New Testament through with us this year. It's less than one chapter a day. And God says, and you're like, John, why are we doing that? Just so you can say, oh, everybody's reading the Bible. No, no, no. I want you to get blessed. I want you to walk right. And if you do not meditate on his word, I mean, night and day, we're asking for one chapter a day. And then you get one day off a week. Folks, please say, you need to write this down. I can do this. I can do this. Because that is a pathway to blessing. This is conditional blessings. He says in Psalm 119, 1 through 3, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. We passed out those next step cards, next step in 2026 cards, and you've got them in the seat racks in front of you. And every single one of you should have filled one out by now. If not, I want you to fill it out and turn it in. You're like, why do you want that? Because every single one of us has a next spiritual step. If you talk about walk, okay, walk right. Walking, I can't walk until I take individual what? Steps. And each step is different. Each step leads me to a little bit different place. But we're all tracking toward the direction that God wants us to go. And some of you, you aren't taking steps anymore. Maybe you took the first step, second step, third step. You are not stepping. You are stopping. You're stopped. And you think that, oh, well, you might not say this, but I've kind of arrived. I'm kind of a mature Christian. No, you're not. You have next steps until you step through the threshold of heaven. I have next steps. You have next steps. Every person, every saved person has a next spiritual step. And so that single step is the part of your walk. In Psalm 37, he says this, those whom the Lord blesses, there's that word again, will inherit the land, but those he curses will be sent away. And then he says this, when people steps. Don't get tired on me yet. We got a ways to go. When people's steps follow the Lord is pleased with their ways, or you could say their walk. If they stumble, well, John, I might fail. Yeah, you're gonna. They will not, if they stumble, they won't fall because the Lord holds their hands, because you're stepping with the Lord. That's his thing here. So the 2026 next steps card that I want you to fill out, and many of you should have, and we have 150 of them turned in, but we ought to have a lot more because we got a whole more than 150 people sitting in these seats right now. We got two other services, and some of you, for whatever reason, whether you haven't been here or you just thought, it's important. It's important. Why is it important, John? You just want to have something to hold over me? No, that's not it. We pastors want to pray for you as you take your next steps. Because I've said this before, some of you in here, I love you, but you don't want a pastor. You don't want a shepherd. You want a performer. Just, you know, preach, you know, funny, have good jokes, and get us out on time. Usually I don't do either one of those. But a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? The shepherd leads the flock, the sheep, and when he's leading them, he's taking steps, and guess what? Behind him, they are doing, taking steps. We want to shepherd you, and sometimes it's hard to know how to pray for you because we don't know. In a crowd this size, we don't know what your next step. Now, some of you, I know what your next step. Some of you need to join the church. You've been here for like 10 years, and you're like, that's my church. Have you ever joined? Well, no, I don't believe in that. Oh, come on. It's all through the Bible. I could show you. Some of you have never been baptized. I know a few of you. Well, I'm scared of that water. Haven't lost a person yet. All right? You ain't gonna be the first. Some of you, I know your next steps. Most of you, I don't. Most of you don't. And so if you have a list like this that you can look down here. Now, the first step is where you're like, well, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not even a believer. Cool. Then you have a first step. Your first step is trust Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That's your step. Understanding that Jesus is God, he came down, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins, went to the grave 3 days, 3 nights, rose victorious out of the grave. And now in heaven, he says, I shed my blood. I went to that and through that for you. And all you have to do is say yes to the gift that I bought for you. And your step is to what? Believe, say yes. That's your first step. Amen. But after that, your next step is to get baptized. It's your first. And by the way, in the New Testament, it knew nothing of an unbaptized believer. Typically, when they trusted Christ, they said, where's water, where's water, where's water? Baptize me now. Many of us are like, well, I get around to it. Jesus commanded it. You're disobeying and you want to be blessed. Join the church as an official member. I don't believe in church membership. Jesus did, so get over it. Find my ministry fit. Oh, you're not done yet. You've done this, this, this. Find my ministry fit at Point Harbor. You're supposed to be serving. If you're not serving, you're disobeying. Now, if you're here for the first Sunday, you're like, dear Lord, what did I walk into? But we're not expecting all of this of you yet, but if you come here and you say, this is the church, this is the flock that God has led me to, then yes, we are. Join a point group, all right? Get connected with other believers. You're not going to grow like you should without that. Read the New Testament through. Increase my inviting. Learn to pray. We're going to talk about these things. Boom, 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 boom. You've got a next step. Even if it's not on there, we got a blank for you, right? Your next step. Take your next step. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed, and you won't be if you don't walk right. Tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday holiday. And about this, I like this. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. Amen? Take the first step. Well, John, I'm trying to take my next spiritual steps. I'm trying to walk right. But honestly, you know, it doesn't seem like God's blessing me with the blessings that you're talking about, or you're intimating. Props to you, though. Props to you. Amen. Amen. You're on your way. But it could be that you're just doing one out of the three. And God doesn't promise his full blessings until we're doing all three. So walk right. Say walk right. Walk right. Number two, pray right. Pray right. Pray right. Walk right. You got that? Now start praying right. Well, I'm not very good about prayer. Well, then that's why your life sucks. Because he said, you don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. You have not because you ask not. It's all through the Bible. Well, why do I have to ask, John? Because, you know, he knows. But he commands you to. It's how he wants to give you things. Because when you pray and you ask specifically, and then he gives it specifically, you go, hallelujah, praise God. Look at an answer to prayer you tell everybody. But if it just came to you, you thought it was because you're so cool. And maybe also it's the only time that he really hears from you. And if you talk to him more, he might give you your needs quicker. Now, in the Old Testament, when you're reading and you're reading through, now we're just reading the New Testament through. Maybe next year we'll do the whole thing, the old and new. But when you're reading through the Old Testament, I'll admit, there are some parts of the Bible, now I hope I don't get struck, that are boring. Yeah? The genealogies, now they're there for a reason, right? So Israel can prove their lineage and all that stuff. But to us, you know, people in 2026, it's like boring. you speed read. But while you're doing, if you're paying attention, you come across a verse that just out of the blue, out of left field, right in the middle of this genealogies of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He's like, you know, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And this dude had two wives. They threw that in. And then so-and-so. And then they had this daughter. Every once in a while, ladies, they throw in the daughter, but not usually. And this is all going along. And you're going. And then you come just out of the blue to this verse in 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. It's in the middle. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, dude. Jabez called upon the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would what? Say, bless me. But he doesn't just say, bless me, like some of you. Oh, God, bless me. How are you going to know if he blesses you unless you say, I need blessed by X, Y, and Z? And Jabez, he doesn't make that mistake. Bless me, how? Enlarge my border. Give me more responsibilities. Give me more whatever. Give me more land. And also that your hand might be with me. You know, be with me. Don't leave me on my own. And three, that you would keep me from harm so it might not bring me pain. And yet we look at this and go, man, what a selfish prayer. You're all about yourself, ain't you, Jabez? And God granted him what he asked because he asked. And then God goes back to, and then so-and-so begat, so-and-so, and so-and-so begat, so-and-so. It's just one verse. Only time you hear about the dude in the whole word of God. What is God doing? He's saying, pay attention. I see you sleeping while you're reading my genealogies. I've got an amazing truth for you right here. Bam. Don't miss it. Well, John, I'm not very good at that praying gig. No, I may be kind. Well, I'm not being. Well, yeah, I'm being kind because I'm telling you the truth. But in your face, then enjoy your very little blessed life. Enjoy your sucky Christian life. Dude, that's harsh. No, that's not harsh. It's Bible. It's Bible. You want to get blessed your way. God, I'm your child. You ought to bless me. I shouldn't even have to ask you. But God says, no. You get blessed my way, or you don't get blessed at all. Because you ain't God. I'm God. Jesus taught on it. He didn't hold back as he's teaching on. The disciples see him praying. And they say, Lord, man, our prayer life sucks. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus starts out. So it's in the whole context of, Lord, teach us to pray. So we ought to pay attention, right? And so, and the disciples, by the way, have been raised in the synagogues. They know all the things they were instructed from the Pharisees, but they realize their prayer life stinks. And this guy prays and things happen. So Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus first gives them the outline, the model prayer. You call it the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven. It's just an outline. Don't just pray that. Pray it as an outline. But then he says this. He always gives a parable to explain what he's talking about. And he said to them, which of you has a friend? All right, say a friend. All right, a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. In this parable, the friend, this is you. All right, or no, this is God. He's the dude in the house. You are the one that's going to the house. All right, your friend is just the need. And he will answer from within, this is your friend. Do not bother me. And this is amazing. Jesus is preaching on prayer. And he says, all right, when you go knocking, 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 the first thing you're going to typically hear is, leave me alone. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. What is Jesus saying here? Well, first, look at this word impudence, because that we don't use that word. You impudent child. Well, most of us don't. All right? Because of his impudence. Impudence in the Greek is this. It's the Greek word enandeia. It means his persistence or his boldness or his shamelessness. He's basically saying, be like a stalker. Knocking, knocking, knocking. I'm not going to leave you alone until you give me what I need. Then he says, I will tell you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you for everyone. How many? Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What he's saying is you need to be persistent in prayer. God many times is not going to open the door right away. You're like, why doesn't he? Doesn't he love me? Yes, he loves you, but maybe he's growing you. Maybe he's stretching you. Maybe he says it's not the right time, whatever. Well, do I stop praying? No, you keep praying. That's what Jesus is saying. You got this friend, he's in bed, his kids are there, he's all comfy, 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 and then you got a need because your friend showed up unannounced and you don't have any bread, and in Israel, that was a horrible thing to not have bread and wine to set before your guests, and so you're like, oh, what do I do? And you go knock on, oh, Billy over there, knock, 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 that Billy's not, like, leave me alone! Billy's in the place of God, leave me alone! But what do you keep doing? Keep knocking, keep asking. He says, even though he won't open it because he's your friend, he'll open it because you won't leave him alone. He's teaching you to pray. And most of us, you're in kindergarten in prayer. And I was for years. But I've learned, I'm not perfect at this, but I've learned this. And there's some things that I pray that I've been praying for, well, one, Robin, 45 years. For my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law's salvation, who are Jewish. And they're getting bad. And don't have much time left. Hey God! Or they're gonna die and go to hell. Other thing is I prayed the truck and the car for 2.5 years. Sometimes he opens the door right away. But typically it's just you need to keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to you. You have not because you ask not. All right, John, my walk isn't perfect. My prayer life could be better, but I'm doing both of these. I'm trying. Then maybe it's this next one that you're ignoring. Hold on to your seats. Ready? This is many of you right in here. First, walk right. Say walk right. Then pray right. Number three, give right. Give right. This is where many of you are blowing it. This is right here. Give right. Malachi 3:7. I want you to turn there in your Bibles. It's page 891 in your blue Bibles. So turn there quick. And I want you to see it. I want you to see it from the pages of your copy of the Word of God. Walk right. Pray right. Give right. You get all of these. These are the big categories. These are the big areas. And God says, then I will open, well, we'll let him talk for himself here in a second. Now, if you're only doing one, two of three, I mean, he might give you some spare blessings, but why be satisfied with scraps, people? Why be satisfied with scraps? When I was a wild teenager, while you're turning there, I like to take off in my 64 Chevy Biscayne, three on the column, 230 cubic inches of pure power, and get together with my buddies on a weekend and drink Pabst Blue Ribbon beer and smoke Marlboros and cool menthols. But that took money. That took money, and I was working for my dad, you know, on the farm. He paid me $2 an hour, and I was overpaid. And so as I was getting ready one night to go into town, you know, got my shower, got all gussied up, got my, you know, the Vitalis in my hair. Back then, I used to use Vitalis early on. And then I realized, I look at my wallet, and I got no money. I'm like, oh, crap, man. And so, normal humans would say, well, I guess, you know, I can't party tonight. I got no money, but not this brilliant teenager. I knew where I could get money. So I went up to my dad's bedroom. I knew where he kept the checkbook. We were never supposed to go in his bedroom, in his mom's bedroom, and I went in there. Snuck in, just ripped out just one. And then went downstairs, took off, said goodbye, here, see you in a little bit, and reared off to town, went through, the bank was still open, went through the bank. They had that brand new thing called a drive-in window. Went through that, you know, of course I forged it, $40, a lot of money back then. Forged that thing, Richard Houston. Send it through the windows, she looks at it, sends me the money back, I drive away, party, party, party. And a couple days went by. My dad goes, come here, boy. I'm like, what? So, because this is a small town. And in a small town, you know, everybody knows everybody. The banker knew my dad. And some stinking busybody bank teller saw something suspicious and talked to the president, said, what do you think about this check? And he looked, this looks like some kid signed this check. I know Richard Houston, that's not his signature. There was hell to pay. And yes, it was taken out of my salary and my hide. Ripped off my dad. Now, before you get all high and mighty and judging me and stealing from my father, that is exactly what some of you are doing every payday to your heavenly father. You're ripping him off. You are ripping him off every single payday, every payday. Because you do this. And God says, all right, none of that. In your Bibles, follow with me. For the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes. You're not walking right. Have not kept them. Return to me. Repent. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you go, what? How should we return? And here's God said, will a man rob God? Say, rob God. Yet you are robbing me. But you go, what? I mean, they're blown away. What? What in the world? How can we rob you? Here's how you rob me. In your tithes and your contributions or offerings. That's how you're robbing me. And so therefore, I'm not just going to ignore it like some of you think that God's going to ignore it. You are actively cursed with a curse. For you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. All y'all are doing it. And then they hit some, wow, what do we do to get back? What do we do to repent? Bring the full tithe. Say full tithe. What is the full tithe? Tell me. 10% of gross. I always love that. People come up to me, well, I never knew it was 10% of gross. The Bible says 10% of all your increase, the tithe of all your increase, that's before Uncle Sam gets his part. All of your increase also means inheritances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, the place that God's people met to worship, that there may be food in my house, that we can do ministry, and thereby put me to the test. The only time in the Word of God where God says, test me. Every other time you test God, he's going to judge you. But this time he goes, double dog dare you to test me. Double dog dare you to see if I will not give to you more than you could ever think of giving to me. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, test me and pour down for you a blessing, there it is, until there is no more what? Need. Is that the Word of God or did I make that up? Huh? Just wondering. Some of you treat it like Pastor John wrote it this afternoon or last night. Some of you are trying to walk right and you're learning to pray right, but it still seems like you're not blessed. Like you feel like me, God ought to bless you because instead of listening to and obeying your heavenly Father, you are ripping him off. He is not going to bless that. Trust me. I've tried it. The tithe, the Bible says, all through the Bible is the Lord's. It was never yours in the first place. Whenever I preach on this, I have somebody that says, oh, Pastor John, and they send me an email, and you can go ahead and send me an email. I don't care, but don't you know that tithing is law? You're preaching law. You're preaching legalism. Let me help you out. I've been down this road, Bucky. The tithe was before the law, during the law, and commended by Jesus at the end of the law. You're like, well, I believe in grace giving. All right, let me help you out. Most people that say that, maybe not you, but most people that say, I don't believe in the tithe, I believe in grace giving. In other words, the grace giving for them it is always a lot smaller than a tithe expectation. Grace giving. All right, let's talk about grace giving. All right, this is free. Grace giving, if you want to compare law to grace, Jesus, just look at what Jesus said over and over and over again. All right, the law says if a man commits adultery with some or has sex with a woman who's not his wife, that's adultery, right? That's the law. But I say to you, if a man looks at a woman to lust at her, he has committed adultery in his heart. Over the Bible says that Jesus said, hey, you say, the murder's bad. You shouldn't murder. Yeah, I get that. But if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed adultery. Grace never lowers the bar. Grace raises the bar every time. And so here's this little Hebrew. He's got, by the way, they didn't have one tithe. They had 2 1/3 tithes expected of them. 2 different 10% tithes plus 1/3 every 3 years stretched out. 2 1/3 tithes. That was the expectation of the little, many times poor Hebrew. And here you are, every single one of you, a rich American. And you got a problem with this. That's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. Jesus said it this way. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's pretty rough. I don't think I'll ever come back here. I know, because you come here at Point Harbor, I'm not trying to be haughty, but you're going to hear the Word of God, whether you like it or not. Because why? Because I want you to be blessed. And you're not going to be blessed if you try to do it your way. How's it been working for you? I want you to have all three of these areas. Check, 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 check. Not perfect, but progressing. And so I've got to get in your face, in your grill, many of you, with the word of God and go, hey, hey, hey. You're like, oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. But once the word of God conquers you, the blessings of God pour out. I've seen it over and over again. You say, well, you said one time that you didn't tithe. Yeah, Robin didn't know at the time. We were in Bible college. And, you know, I'm studying for ministry. And so I was tithing as well. But I thought, you know how you talk to yourself into things? Well, I'm studying for ministry, so I got these, you know, school bills. And so I'm just going to take my tithe and put it in a school bill because school is for ministry anyway. See how that works? Some of you do it every payday. And so, you know, did it work out for you? About a month and a half went by. Had blown tires, you know, car problems. Things got worse. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I paid it back with 20% on top because that's what the Old Testament says you're supposed to do when you rip off Jesus of his tithe is to add 20%. And what did Robin say? She never knew until I used it as a sermon illustration. Some years ago. She's like, that's why it was so hard back then. Well, she did. But God's not going to bless that. And by the way, God's not dumber than my dad. He's not. Back to my thieving self. What do you think my dad's reaction would have been if I'd have said after I got caught, you know, stealing from him red-handed, well, father of mine, I needed that money, you understand. Times are tough. I've got my bills. I've got, you know, retirement to fund, you know, as a 17-year-old. I'm sure you understand. Now, you know, okay, could you please give me, you know, forgive my petty larceny, and could you bless me with a little extra cash because my buddies are waiting for me in town? Do you think Dad would have pulled out his wallet? How much do you need, son? No, he'd give me a kick in the butt. Our God isn't stupid. Our God doesn't play. He's blessed us so much. And we're going to be ungrateful and spiteful and disobey his clear commands to worship him by bringing the first fruits of our income, of our increase, which he calls robbing him. And we wonder why we're not blessed. Some of us need to have a come to Jesus moment in our giving. Amen. Amen. So he's like, you should say, oh me. Want to be blessed? I've made it simple, God says. Walk right, pray right, give right. Not perfect, but progressing, progressing, progressing. And then I will give you, I will pour out the amount that you can't even receive it. So walk right, obey me. Take those next steps I've laid out. What are those are? Don't stop. You're stopping some of you. Keep walking, keep stepping. Pray right. You have not because you ask not. And then give right. Quit ripping me off. And then watch what I do in your life. In the biblical teaching, I bring my tithe. You're like, some of you say, well, I gave my tithes or I paid my tithes. No. Wrong terminology. It was never yours. You just bring it back. You bring. That's why he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. I bring the tithe back. It's not mine. And that blesses the gospel ministry here in this house. And then I give my offerings. That's what you give, my offerings above the tithe, to bless the gospel outreach to others. Well, John, since Point Harbor, you're preaching on giving, so obviously Point Harbor's behind in its general fund budget, you know, and you guys are hard up for money. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let me brag, because we've got a whole bunch of people here who get it, right? Some of you are wrestling with it. You're sitting real close to somebody who's blessed, and is going, yeah, amen, amen, that's right, right? Because they've seen it. They've experienced it. But so let me brag on these folks. We closed 2025, all right? 2025 giving, general fund. All right, that's for this, that's tithes. And you want 100%, right? Now, most churches don't get 100%. You know, they're happy to get 90, 85%. And what did Point Harbor's people give? 111%. Bam. Woo. Because many of you, that's you bringing God back his tithe. But on top of that, it gets even better. Last year, for above the tithe, the 25, right? Missions giving above our tithes and offerings. We have these churches we planted, and it takes a lot of money to fund them, and we needed 244,000 and some change. on top of all of the general fund. That's a lot of money, you say. And so we're praying. And then we got other opportunities to plant other churches. What do we do? Well, as the year progressed, we realized God is blessing. We didn't just get $244,000. We got $418,000 and some change. Bam! Because a whole bunch of people get it, and they are blessed funding God's great commission, amen? And so we're able to, I don't have time to spend much time, all of these churches that are on our map outside there, two of the baby churches we just started, plus four, Jorge has, I think, four in the wings. This is our pastors, me, Dan, Jose, where's Jose? Jose, and then these other guys, minus Victor, all sucking our guts in. And then this is going on right now in this building right over here that many of you have never been in. Last week, 67 folks. Yeah, that's the size of an average American church, about 67. And they've been going, what, coming on 2 years. And God is doing some huge things. Then Peru, they're doing cool things. Like they're doing Serve Saturday right here in their own unique culture. And then they got some woman's thing with cowboy hats. Not sure what that was. Kids ministries going on, and then their Lord's Supper and baptisms, and she's not really praising the Lord. She's saying it's cold because it is freezing. I baptized in that lake up in the mountains. No, she's praising the Lord. And then in Cuba, this is a Bible study in Jorge's backyard here where your money is building this building that's going to be used for ministry to train pastors and house this congregation there as they are building it to the glory of God. And Jorge's doing amazing, but they're all doing amazing work. And so many of you have been obedient to God. You're walking right, you're praying right, you're giving right, and God is blessing you. Now you say, yeah, John, I believe I'm blessed of God. I've seen God's blessing, but 2025 was rough. 2025 actually, to use your words, sucked. Let me show you. Does that mean you're not blessed? No. Outside circle, I have not mentioned till now, surrounding this whole thing of walking right, praying right, giving right, being in on the blessings of God, surrounding that is the sovereignty of God. God can do what he wants in the blessing paradigm. And many times we're blessed and it feels like this hurts, but God's getting us ready. He's shaping us, right? He's setting scenarios up. And write down this if you're taking notes, Jabez. That's the kind of blessings I want, amen? You pray, ask three things, God gives it to you. Bam, 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 bam. Many times that's what God does, but sometimes it's another J word, Job. And God allowed Job to go through hell on earth while Job was doing all of these. The Bible says he's the most righteous man on earth. And God allowed Job to go through this. Why? It's just because God wasn't blessed. No, he was very blessed. But God took him through that to glorify himself. God was glorifying himself in Satan's face, in your face, Satan, with Job. And Job went through it and lost bankruptcy, lost his kids, his wife saying, curse God and die. But the Bible says Job maintained his integrity and said, though he slay me, even if he kills me, I must still trust him. And at the end, God, never telling Job why it all happened, came back and gave him a twofold blessing on top of everything he'd ever had before. But it takes time sometimes. Well, John, that extra money you talked about, why can't we use that here? You know, we could use it here. We could build more buildings or whatever. You and your staff could have better salary. That's what the tithes are for, people. Tithes are for here, right? Offerings for outside those. That's the 25 by 35. That's the why. These church plants that many of you, when I came here, I'd never heard. This was a church plant. This was a three-year-old church when I came here. A church plant. I never heard that. I always, you know, this tall steeple church has been 100 years. But you think, okay, this church plant, that's kind of nice. It's novel, but you know, that's just something that this church does. Other churches, they do other things. No. If they're not planting churches, they're not a church of God. At least they're not obeying the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Jesus laid it out. Most of you know this. Well, let me drop back here, even though I know the time. Just don't even look at the clock. Forget that. Point Harbor planting 25 churches by 2035. We've already got 3, 4, 5, 6. Baby, baby. okay? Each of those churches plants over a multi-year process, 5 to 10 years, three more churches, which equals 100 churches. And I'm now praying for more because I see the progress we're making because how God is using you people to bless this ministry and blessing you in the process. And to me, that's just exciting. And lives are being changed to the point that, I didn't even mention this because I winged by it. In these churches right here, we have an attendance, people through the door of all of these, 12,832. All right, now that's with all of them, people coming. It's salvations, 130, baptism, 75, potential new churches for 2026, 4. That is because that's ROI, return on your investment, amen. Yeah, amen. So, church planting is the imperative. It's not an option. Jesus, it was his last words. He came, you know, the disciples were gathered around and he says, here's what you do, boys. This is what the church is supposed to do. Go therefore, make disciples of where? All nations, then baptize them, and then teach them to observe all things that I've told you, disciple them. That is, the church baptizes. You don't baptize, individuals don't baptize. The church has the authority to baptize. He's saying, I want you to go out and plant churches. Church planting is important because the church is God's plan A to reach the world for Jesus. There is no plan B. Jesus was a church planter. Paul was a church planter. The apostles were all church planters. The Great Commission is a call to plant churches. The Great Commission, not to hurt your feelings, is not a two-week mission trip. It's not. That's evangelism. That's not the Great Commission. Even inviting your friends to Easter is cool, but it's evangelism. It's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a call to plant churches here and around the world. It's non-negotiable. That's why we do it. We got no option if we're going to obey God and be a blessed church. That's why Point Harbor plants churches. That's the why of the 25 by 35. That's why God is blessing us. That's why Satan's attacking us. That's why you need to get involved and get the blessings of God. Amen. On the way in, you were given this 25 by 35 card. I hope you prayed about it. We gave it out last week as well. If you haven't, take a week and pray about it. But I want you, this is above the tithe, okay? This is above the tithe. Not ripping the tithe off to do this. I'm committing to give X amount. I want you to pray over that. Monthly to missions above my regular. This is my next giving step. Or I'm committing to a one-time gift. Put your name, your info there. Put it in the boxes on the way out. You're like, why do you need it? Is this like a pledge? No, it's not a pledge, but this helps us to plan. We got those four churches. We're talking to pastors waiting in the wings. We need to know kind of where we're at with that. That's how we do things. And so that's called planning, planning in faith. So I want you to turn those in and get the blessings of God. You get involved. So, what's my next step? Each one is different. Each one is different. Many of you, it's right here. It's right here. Or maybe it's to start tithing. Get the blessings of God. Pray with me. Lord, we pray that you would just do a work in our lives like you've done. Lord, last year was amazing. Do it again, even more, Lord. We pray for even more blessings. Help us to walk right. Help us to pray right. That's why we have prayer here and prayer meetings. Lord, help us to give right. We have so many of our people who get it, but some don't. And I pray that they'll have ears to hear and that you'll work on their hearts. In the precious name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen.